Tonight, WestJet whiplash. A pilot strike averted. Now the race to rebook those canceled flights. From arrivals to departures.
I have been flying for like over 2 days now.
The frustrating fallout.
To end this trip like this is kind of not ideal for us.
A movie theater giant accused of misleading customers.
It's $1.50, it's okay.
I think they should keep it the same price.
A lawsuit against Cineplex, now playing. Plus, remembering NFL Hall of Famer Jim Brown. The loss of a legendary figure both on and off the field.
Bring about a complete economic change in the ghetto in this country.
CTV National News with Omar Sachedina. Reporting tonight, Sandy Rinaldo.
Good evening. A deal reached overnight just a few hours before the deadline has headed off a WestJet pilot strike at the start of a busy travel season. The union says the deal comes after months of tough negotiations and that it will benefit everyone involved, from our company to our passengers and fellow employees. But the new agreement comes too late to avoid hundreds of flight delays and cancellations, leaving many customers annoyed and angry. CTV's Adrian Gobriel starts us off.
A trying travel nightmare averted for some.
We were definitely really relieved. We were sort of cheering in our bedroom. So,
from sky-high smiles to seething frustration, at least 230 WestJet flights were canceled over the last few days, according to FlightAware.
There's a lot of uncertainty up in the air. WestJet doesn't pick up their phone.
Nicholas Ho and his girlfriend Desiree Johnson were enjoying their trip to Rome. That was until WestJet notified them that their flight home to Vancouver was canceled this morning after a tentative deal had been reached. They spent their day struggling to get answers.
Trying to get help has been not super fun.
We look forward to ensuring that our guests can safely get where they need to go with the service that they deserve.
WestJet CEO sent out this recorded video statement shortly after the 11th hour agreement in principle was struck, following more than 8 months of negotiations. Specifics of the deal weren't released today, though priorities at the bargaining table included job security and salaries, with WestJet pilots claiming they earn roughly half of what some of their U.S. counterparts bring home.
We have helped set a new standard for pilots in Canada that will hopefully keep pilots in Canada rather than having them leave to go down to the United States.
This week's standoff could set the stage for an even larger labor negotiation. Air Canada's pilots are represented by the same union as WestJet's, and they can begin bargaining this September.
So there's going to be a lot of monetary pressure on Air Canada, you know, that ALPA has, you know, in exercising their bargaining rights for the fall.
For Nicholas and Desiree, the stranded couple shared this message. Should the airline or its pilots feel the desire to treat passengers as pawns in the future?
Do better. We're probably not going to fly with WestJet again.
A final vote on the tentative deal is still weeks away. The pilots who were at the bargaining table tell us they're hopeful that the offer will be ratified and that WestJet planes will remain where they belong, in the sky. Sandy?
Adrian, thank you. Russian fighter jets may soon face a challenge in the skies over Ukraine. The U.S. is reportedly giving permission for NATO nations to provide F-16s and train Ukrainian pilots. That conflict was part of the G7 talks today, with a past war serving as a stark reminder of what's at stake. CTV's senior political correspondent Glenn McGregor reports from Japan.
This gathering of G7 leaders began on a solemn note at the memorial for those killed by the atom bomb that leveled most of the city. Left standing, the Genbaku Dome, now a symbol of remembrance. Japan's Prime Minister Fumio Kishida put nuclear disarmament on the summit agenda as his country faces the looming threat of a potentially nuclear North Korea.
Welcome to Japan. So happy to be here.
Justin Trudeau told Kishida his city is a warning to us all in a very difficult time. Some of those who survived the atomic bomb had a stark message for the leaders. When they go home, this man said, they should explain to their people what survivors have gone through and how inhumane nuclear weapons are. At the G7 table, leaders agreed to do more in response to Russia's invasion of Ukraine, tightening economic sanctions and blocking exports of technology or equipment that could be used to support its military.
Today, Canada's announcing 70, more than 70 new sanctions on entities and individuals complicit in the military actions against Ukraine.
The group also appears ready to support Ukraine's request to help bolster its air defenses. Ukraine's President Volodymyr Zelensky is expected to speak to G7 leaders this weekend to push for F-16 fighter jets. U.S. President Joe Biden is prepared to waive export restrictions to allow the American-made jets to be loaned to Ukraine. The U.K. is among the countries offering to help train pilots on the advanced fighters.
Russia needs to know that we and other countries remain steadfast in our resolve to support Ukraine.
Canada and the other G7 countries issued a joint statement called the Hiroshima Vision for Nuclear Disarmament, condemning Russia for threatening to use nuclear weapons and pledging to work towards global non-proliferation. Sandy.
Glenn McGregor in Hiroshima. And Volodymyr Zelensky will reportedly be at the G7 in person this weekend. Today, he was in Saudi Arabia at a summit of the Arab League to canvass support. Saudi Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman has promised to mediate with Moscow. And after a decade's absence, Syrian leader Bashar al-Assad was welcomed back to the Arab League. The dictator has received heavy support from Russia in his country's civil war. After heavy pressure from Ottawa to step up, Ontario is sweetening the pot to save car-making giant Stellantis from pulling the plug on a battery plant in Windsor. The province wouldn't divulge how much it's anteing up, with a final deal still not nailed down. CTV's Judy Trin reports.
Shovels have been silent at the Windsor Stellantis site for days after the automaker went public with demands for more subsidies from the federal government. Ottawa pressured Ontario to step in.
I'm not going to get into the full details until the announcement comes out, but this is all about protecting jobs and the people. That's what it comes down to.
Construction on the $5 billion electric vehicle battery plant was stopped because negotiations had stalled. Initially, Stellantis and its partner, South Korea-based LG Energy, were getting $1 billion in subsidies. That paled in comparison to the $13 billion the federal government offered Volkswagen to build a plant in St. Thomas. Subsidies spurred by the hundreds of billions in tax breaks that Washington is using to lure clean energy companies to the U.S.
We have always said, and you have to go back to the Falconic statement where we said we would level the playing field with the United States.
The industry minister hinted that a new deal was close after dinner diplomacy with LG's president during his visit to South Korea.
We had dinner for 2 hours and he stayed with me for 2 hours. That's already a pretty good sign to me.
That progress is a relief to the auto industry. 2,500 Stellantis jobs are on the line, along with spin-offs.
The possibility of having these many jobs at risk, plus the future jobs and thousands of jobs in the supply chain currently, was just too disastrous to kind of contemplate.
Two provincial sources tell CTV News that a new Stellantis deal will be announced within days, that the deal will involve a federal government commitment to help speed up approvals to extract critical minerals in northern Ontario and to build a new highway in the greater Toronto area. Sandy.
All right, Judy, thank you. A convicted killer, one of Quebec's most wanted criminals, has been recaptured more than 4 years after he escaped a minimum security prison near Montreal. Denis Began was serving a life sentence for second-degree murder when he escaped in February 2019. Police say he was arrested Monday in relation to a different case and not his escape. Indigenous leaders in Saskatchewan are calling for an inquiry into the death of 13-month-old Tanner Brass after the Public Complaints Commission found police in Prince Albert neglected duty when they failed to check on the child. Tanner was found dead and covered in bruises. His mother says she begged police to protect her son, who was allegedly trapped inside the home with his father for hours. He has been charged with second-degree murder. The tragedy has led to accusations of racism and incompetence. The chief of police has announced he is retiring. While provincial officials in fire-ravaged Alberta are pleading with residents to do their part, as extreme fire hazards are expected to persist throughout the long weekend.
This weekend is not the time to drop our guard. The wildfire threat remains as serious as ever.
Hot and dry weather is expected to challenge crews trying to get control of the nearly 100 wildfires currently raging. A fire ban is in place, and some provincial parks have been closed in an attempt to prevent the spike in human-caused fires that happens every May long weekend.
Last year, we saw 97 new wildfire starts over this weekend, and that was under much less extreme wildfire danger levels.
So far this month, wildfires have destroyed more than 275 structures and burned an area 10 times the size of Calgary. Now, one of those areas battered by flames is near the northern community of Fox Creek. The town was evacuated nearly 2 weeks ago, and last night the only highway in and out had to be shut down. But today, with an RCMP escort leading the way, CTV's Jessica Robb got a closer look.
Smoldering power poles line the side of the highway, some no longer standing upright. RCMP say the fire jumped the highway last night.
It just shows how quickly and mobile these fires are, and how something like a roadway, even cement, it doesn't matter, right? It can still get past that area.
Sparks that landed on the west side are now smoldering spots. Fire crews stayed up until the early hours of the morning fighting. The stretch of highway between Fox Creek and Little Smoky was closed yesterday by RCMP, and it's easy to see why. As the wind changes and smoke switches directions, helicopters carrying water to douse the flames can be spotted.
We have firefighters, we have aircraft and heavy equipment all working to reinforce the containment lines that we've been building there.
Alberta Wildfire says the fire hasn't reached the town, but one is burning a kilometer away and didn't want to comment on how much closer it's moving. Heading into the long weekend, the town of Fox Creek is asking people to show their support to first responders through a message. Comments on a post on Fox Creek's Facebook page are being displayed on a digital billboard in town. And the only people inside to read it are the ones fighting the flames to keep the town safe. Jessica Robb, CTV News, Fox Creek.
Now, Canada's largest cinema chain, Cineplex, is in the crosshairs of Canada's Competition Bureau, hit with a lawsuit over what is being called deceptive pricing on movie tickets. As CTV's Vanessa Lee reports, the issue stems from a small fee with million-dollar consequences.
Caught in their own legal drama, Cineplex is being sued by Canada's Competition Bureau. The consumer watchdog says the movie giant is using misleading tactics to deceive customers and breaking the law with an additional fee for tickets purchased online.
I think they're taking off advantage of people who are lazy. I think they should keep it the same price.
Did you know that they charge an extra fee when you buy online?
No.
If you get two tickets to Guardians of the Galaxy Inside, it'll cost you $25 plus tax. If you get them online, it's an extra $1.50 per ticket. The Competition Bureau says it's considered a form of drip pricing, also known as a junk fee. Advertising a product at a certain price, but then adding a mandatory charge at checkout. In a statement, Cineplex says there is no merit to the allegation. Our online booking fee is entirely optional and provides the convenience of advanced seat selection. All of this information is clearly stated on our website. The fee was introduced last June. The Bureau says it generated nearly $17 million in revenue in the first 9 months.
I think a lot of consumers really doubt that it costs them more to sell them a ticket electronically, where the consumer does all the work instead of a clerk.
The watchdog wants Cineplex to pay a penalty and offer restitution to affected moviegoers who don't want to have to shell out more for a night out. Vanessa Lee, CTV News, Montreal.
Coming up after the break, Disney World and the deepening feud with Florida's governor. Plus,
this group is uniquely placed.
Canadian Olympic hero Donovan Bailey makes a run for the Ottawa Senators. Donald Trump has a new contender in his race to take back the White House after a Republican senator from South Carolina announced he will run for president. Tim Scott filed paperwork today declaring his intention to seek his party's nomination. Scott, the Senate's only black Republican, is expected to make his formal announcement on Monday. And the Republican field will be even more crowded next week when Florida Governor Ron DeSantis is expected to throw his hat into the ring. The controversial politician prepares to launch his campaign just as his ongoing public feud with the Walt Disney Company is heating up. CTV's Washington Bureau Chief Joy Malbon reports.
In the magical world of Disney, it seems you don't mess with the mouse.
All right.
Days before Florida's Governor Ron DeSantis is expected to take a run at the presidency, the Walt Disney Company scrapped plans for a nearly $1 billion office complex in Florida, costing the state nearly 2,000 jobs. Employees were told the reason? Changing business conditions.
It's a missed opportunity for us.
All this comes on the heels of a bitter feud between Governor DeSantis and the entertainment giant. Here's what CEO Robert Iger said last week.
Does the state want us to invest more, employ more people, and pay more taxes, or not?
The bad blood began last year when Disney spoke out against the governor's so-called Don't Say Gay law. That bans classroom discussion about gender and sexual orientation.
We will fight the woke in corporate America. We will never, ever surrender to the woke mob.
DeSantis, who married his wife at Walt Disney World, also stripped the theme park of its special tax status. Now Disney is suing. Testing the political waters in New Hampshire today.
To put one corporation on a pedestal and let them be exempt from the laws is not good policy.
Not backing down from Disney and prepping for an all-out brawl with Donald Trump for the Republican nomination.
So we're talking about a governor who is going to be in a two-front war with one of the biggest media companies in the world and Donald Trump. And I think that alone speaks to just how volatile this could potentially get for Ron DeSantis.
Trump has attacked DeSantis relentlessly, sees him as his chief rival, but no one is counting the governor out. After months of flirting with the idea, DeSantis is expected to announce next week he's in the race for the White House. Joy Malbon, CTV News, Washington.
Well, the Canadian who sprinted to gold medal fame in the 1996 Olympic Games in Atlanta is now part of a group submitting a bid to buy the NHL's Ottawa Senators.
They can't imagine, you know, the amount of fans that we'll have filling the stands. You know, I'm used to doing that around the world in track and field, and it'd just be great to do that in Ottawa.
Donovan Bailey is joining rapper Snoop Dogg and producer Nico Sparks in a bid to become the NHL's first Black-led ownership group. A Quebec First Nation has endorsed the submission, which is one of four offers on the table. Still ahead, a military entrance East Coast style. For a Colonel-in-Chief and Princess Royal. One of the hardest working royals, Princess Anne, has a special place in her heart for Canada. She's back again this weekend visiting New Brunswick. Anne, who is Colonel-in-Chief of 7 Canadian military regiments, is helping to mark a special anniversary. CTV's Atlantic Bureau Chief Krisen Ashkate reports.
Princess Anne, sister of King Charles, made a brief stop for tea in Fredericton. It was her first stop in the province, joining the Premier and the Lieutenant Governor at Government House. Next, she arrived by military helicopter to meet the RCMP in Moncton and laid a wreath at a memorial for the three RCMP officers who were shot and killed in the line of duty in 2014. The Princess Royal later shared a few somber words with the families of the late constables.
It was an honor that she took the time to come to Moncton, come to the monument, visit with all of us and chat with me and my girls as well.
I thought the ceremony was quite beautiful. I'm very grateful that Her Royal Highness took the time to come and pay her respects.
More than 200 people attended the ceremony, with some interested in catching a glimpse of royalty.
It was wonderful. I waited a long time. I came early this morning and make sure I can find a parking space.
Princess Anne is also here to help celebrate the 175th anniversary of the 8th Canadian Hussars. She's been the Colonel-in-Chief of the regiment for more than half a century. It was formed in 1848 and is Canada's oldest serving army regiment that fought in both world wars.
She's maintained a personal interest in this regiment, people from southern New Brunswick, Moncton and Sussex, for well over 50 years. It's quite an accomplishment.
Princess Anne's weekend schedule includes a military parade on Saturday, followed by more celebrations in Sussex on Sunday, before she heads back to the UK. Krisa Nachkate, CTV News, Halifax.
The bass player for one of Britain's most influential bands has died.
And the sun and the air.
Andy Rourke was an original member of the Smiths, who formed in Manchester in the early 80s. The group deliberately shied away from the mainstream and found a huge cult following. Rourke died after a lengthy illness with pancreatic cancer. He was 59. After the break, a man for all seasons, remembering the athlete, actor, and activist Jim Brown. We leave you tonight by saying goodbye to one of the most gifted athletes of the past century. Jim Brown was a powerful presence on the football field, on screen, and for social activism. Here's CTV's Heather Butts.
Mr. Brown batters through the cards, 41 yards to touchdown territory.
One of the greatest players in football history, Jim Brown was a force on the field.
Jimmy Brown breaks loose.
He grew up in Georgia, was a standout running back and an All-American lacrosse player. Drafted by the Cleveland Browns in 1957, he was an instant star and fan favorite. Brown was unstoppable, capturing Rookie of the Year and League MVP honors.
Here's a slip to Jim Brown. Jim to the 25.
Rushing for more than 12,000 yards and scoring 126 touchdowns, he shattered the NFL's record books in his nine-year career. His wife announcing his passing on social media. To the world, he was an activist, actor, and football star. To our family, he was a loving and wonderful husband, father, and grandfather. Our hearts are broken. With power, speed, and endurance, number 32 dominated his competitors, never missing a game, playing 118 straight before retiring in his prime at age 30, stepping away from the game to become an actor.
Jimmy Brown as Napoleon Jefferson.
Brown appeared in more than 40 films, including The Dirty Dozen.
It ain't my party.
And 100 Rifles. While he made headlines for legal issues, including assault accusations against women, Brown used his platform to become a prominent civil rights advocate during the 60s, supporting Muhammad Ali's protest against the Vietnam War. He promoted black-owned businesses by creating the Negro Industrial and Economic Union.
Bring about a complete economic change in the ghetto in this country.
He also worked to curb gang violence, help inner-city youth and ex-convicts. He'll be remembered for his efforts on and off the field. Jim Brown was 87. Heather Butts, CTV News, Toronto.
And that's our newscast for this Friday. Thank you for sharing your time with us. I'm Sandra Rinaldo. Heather Butts will be here this weekend. For Omar and all of us at CTV National News, good night.
National News, Canada's number one newscast.